And now I want you to turn with me into the Gospel according to John and chapter 1. Of all four of the Gospel accounts, none is so beloved as John's account, which has commonly been called the Eagle Gospel because it soars beyond the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It brings to us some things that the other Gospels do not. I want you to read with me in the first chapter, beginning at verse 1. But first, I would ask you to join with me in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the marvelous grace that has been extended to us, picking us up out of the middle of nothing and placing us down in the middle of everything. Undeserved favor, unmerited favor, Thou hast given us in Thy marvelous grace. Help us now as we shall read and study Thy word, and as we shall proclaim its marvelous truth to this congregation. May we do so with a full awareness of our inadequacy, our unworthiness, our own sinfulness, even as the prophet Isaiah. We realize that we are of unclean lips. Grant unto us the anointing of the Holy Spirit for this message, and make it what it ought to be to each of our hearts, to challenge us to be missionaries here at home and around the world. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world knew, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." I do not know of another chapter in all of the holy record that does for us what the first chapter of the Gospel according to John really does. Let's get the picture. John chapter 1 links God with man. It links heaven with earth. It links time with eternity. This great chapter speaks of light and darkness. It speaks of law and grace. It speaks of revelation and creation. My text is taken from three of these 17 verses that I have read you, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 17. I think they bear repeating. Listen to verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And verse 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. And verse 17 puts the cream on it all. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This is Mission Sunday, and my message for this occasion is entitled, A Man, a Mission, and a Message. Let us observe first the man. Essentially, three men who are mentioned in this great chapter. The man Moses, the man John the Baptist, and the man Jesus Christ. Look at Moses, if you will, for a moment. There has never been another man that held the same status and position that Moses held. Moses was the great mediator between God and man in the Old Testament economy. God spoke to Israel through Moses. Israel spoke to God through Moses. So the ministry of Moses is a ministry of mediation. For a mediator is one who goes between. I shall never forget in my own experience, there have been many times that I've needed a mediator. Have you? One in particular, when I was, expelled from school? Or suspended from school? That sounds a little bit better because that speaks of a temporary thing. Except it was rather permanent because the principal said, don't come back until you bring your daddy. And I knew what that meant. So I found me a mediator, an older sister. And she broke the news. And I'm not going to tell you what daddy broke. But I needed someone to go to him for me. And beloved Israel, that nation that was smitten with fear, and that nation that was in bondage needed someone to go to God. And that man was Moses. And from the top of Mount Sinai, he received the law of God that told men how they ought to live. What a man was Moses. And look at John. When the Old Testament economy is on its way out and the New Testament is coming in, my text tells me there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And John had a ministry unlike any other ministry in the New Testament economy. For John's ministry was a ministry of presentation, and John presented the Lamb of God while Moses presented the law of God. For in verse 29 of this chapter, John said, Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. What the law could not do, the Lamb has done. And I'm glad that Paul writes in Romans that Jesus Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness' sake to everyone that believeth. The law condemns me. Jesus saves me. The law tells me that I'm going to die. The Lamb of God tells me I'm going to live. John's ministry was a ministry of presentation. And what shall I say about the man Jesus? I don't have the vocabulary to describe the Son of God. Only to say that the ministry of Jesus was a ministry of reconciliation. You know what that word means. That means when two people are at odds with each other, someone steps in to reconcile them. And you and I, by nature, are at odds with God. And our mediator, Christ Jesus, has stepped in. And he has given us the love of God. Moses gave us the law. John presented the Lamb. And Jesus has given us the love. Read it again in verse 17. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And grace is merely an offspring of love. God loved us, so he expressed his love to us in the gift of his Son by his marvelous grace. The choir just sang it. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace that can cover all of our evil. Oh, my friend, this morning you may have gone the way of Satan. You may have gone into the depths of sin. You may bear in your own body the marks of sin and degradation. But I've got good news for you this morning. The blood of the Lamb of God can cleanse you from all your sin. And the grace of God that covers all our sins is sufficient for you this morning. For where sin doth abound, I can hardly wait to tell you grace doth much more abound. Amen. Weigh your sins over against the grace of God, and you'll learn that Jesus' ministry was one of reconciliation. Remember, my text says there was a man sent from God. Now, I've talked about Moses, and I've talked about John, and I've talked about Jesus. Moses is dead, and I believe he's in heaven this morning. John the Baptist is dead, and I believe he's in heaven. Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, and he was buried, but thank God he arose. And he is just as much alive today as he was last Easter Sunday. And Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God, talking to God for you right now, making intercession for us. So then, if that be the case, and it is the case according to God's word, Moses is in heaven, John is in heaven, Jesus is in heaven. There must be some men on earth. Not to take Jesus' place. Perish the thought. I know there are some, and there are systems of religion today that think that they have the vicar of Christ, but Christ does not have a vicar save in the person of his Holy Spirit. For when he went away, he said, I will not leave you without a comforter. I will send you another comforter, and he shall teach you and guide you and instruct you and comfort you. I'm going to talk more about that tonight at 7 o'clock. But listen to me. Jesus Christ does not have a vicar or viceroy on earth. Call him what they may. Revere him as they will. There is but one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Jesus Christ. Amen. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us today. And I'm glad that any time, day or night, I don't have to be with anybody. I don't even have to be in a million miles in the proximity of any person. I don't have to be in any particular place where I can go to Him in the daytime or in the night. I can go to Him morning, noon, or night, and I can talk to God through Him, for He is my high priest this morning. And I love Him because He loved me and gave Himself on the cross that a wretched sinner like me could ever be saved. I wonder, beloved, why He ever loved us. Moses is in heaven. John is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. God needs somebody to take Moses' place and John's place and Paul's place and Peter's place and James's place and all of the apostles' place. And beloved, you and I are the ones to do it. Who are the men on earth? You and I. And I do not speak now of the man who occupies the pulpit. I'm talking about all of us in the pew as well as the pulpit. For we are all designated as priests and ministers of the word and evangelists. You didn't know you were an evangelist? Read your Bible. You are. You didn't know that you're a witness? Read the book. You are a witness. Somebody has thought, oh, nobody in Worth Baptist Church. But up in Oklahoma, nobody here from Oklahoma, I hope. Up in Oklahoma, they have this idea that the preacher's to do all the soul winning, all the witnessing, all the visitation. And all the people have to do is just come and listen to it when he spews it all out. And watch the people walk down the aisle. They believe that in Oklahoma. But if you'll read the book of Acts, you'll learn that in the 8th chapter, the first part of that chapter, it says that they were all scattered abroad except the apostles. Now they were at home. And in their daily ministration of the duties of the overseer of the flock and getting ready for their sermons. Now if you've got the idea that a preacher just gets up and God fills his mouth, you're wrong. I've seen somebody's filled with a lot of hot air, but I'm telling you, you're wrong if you think that's the case. But look at verse 4 of chapter 8 when you get home in the book of Acts, and you'll learn that all they that were scattered abroad went about everywhere preaching the word. It's incumbent upon you, as it is upon me, to preach the word out there on the job daily. In the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Who are the men? You and I are. And what kind of men must we be? We must be men of faith. Moses was a man of faith. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read that by faith Moses forsook Egypt. By faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, Moses offered the Passover. By faith, Moses crossed the Red Sea. We must be men of faith today. Amen. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Did you know that? That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Jesus says, have faith in God. We must be men of faith. How's the barometer on your faith running this morning? We must be men of fortitude. That was John the Baptist. Oh, we don't know what preaching is today. Oh, if we could have only heard the voice of John the Baptist as he came out of the wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey and preaching repentance and the kingdom of God. John was a man of fortitude. He spared not. You and I must spare not. We must be fortified by by faith. Not only that, we must be men of favor. It is said about Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 that he grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor with man and with God. We must be men of faith. We must be men of fortitude. We must be men of favor. For after all, we are linking God to man. We are go-betweens. We are, if you please, transformers. Now, when you got ready to shave this morning, if you used an electric razor, you didn't go down to the power plant out here, Texas Electric Power Plant, and plug into that main source of power, or you wouldn't be here. But somebody has arranged that that power can be reduced by transformers that hang on the post, and we just plug in the socket, and ready, kilowatt is there to go to work. Now, you and I are transformers. We have a line to the main source of power, which is God. And God uses us to give out this power to all those about us. Men of faith, men of fortitude, men of favor with God and man. That's the kind of men we ought to be today. We need men like William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. He had an audience with King Edward VII. And King Edward VII commended him for his work. And here's how he responded. Your Majesty, some men have a passion for money. Some men have a passion for fame. But Your Majesty, I have a passion for souls. Oh my God, that's the kind of men we need today. Not only to occupy the pulpit, but to fill the pew. Men of faith, men of fortitude, men of favor. What kind of man are you? Let us then note the mission. Listen again to verse 6. There was a man sent from God. He was on a mission. A man sent from God. Now that word sent in the original language, Greek, means an envoy on a specially designated mission. John was an envoy. You and I are envoys this morning. For we have been sent on a specially designated mission. Men sent from God, not from home, not from parents, not from the club, not from the school, not from the community, but from God. We have altogether too many who are sent from these other things. We need some men sent from God. When I ordain or help in ordaining young preachers, if somebody else does not ask it, I always do. Young man, if this ordinating council or presbytery does not see fit to ordain you to the gospel ministry, what are you going to do? And if they don't say, I'm going to preach anyhow, I just don't go on with the ordination. Now, I believe they ought to be ordained by man for the office they're going to be filling. But, beloved, we must be ordained of God. We must be like those Baptist preachers back in Culpeper, Virginia, in the year 1767. They stripped these men down, their shirts off their backs, and they took whips and literally beat them till the blood gushed from their bodies. I'm talking about in the United States now, just 200 years ago. And Patrick Henry rode up, saw what was going on, and he said, gentlemen, tell me, what crime have these men committed? The answer came back, they are preaching the gospel without a license. And Patrick Henry said, my God, my God, my God, why would they have to be licensed of men if they're ordained of God to preach His word? That's the kind of men we need. Men on a mission from God. Our world today demands men on a mission from God. Moses was sent from God. John the Baptist was sent from God. Jesus was sent from God. So then you and I as believers in the 20th century are sent from God. Jesus said, "As my Father hath sent me, so send I you." Men sent from God. And we are not sent out empty-handed. And we're not sent out alone. We are sent out with the power of God. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We are sent out with the presence of God. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, but go with you all the way." We are sent out with the peace of God. Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Men sent from God on a mission. Finally, let's consider the message. What is that message? Well, the world is exposed to many messages today. The message of science, the message of education. What shall I say about the message of politics in these days? All of these messages fall short in their quest of satisfying the human heart. For man's heart must have a message of love. Man's heart must have a message of compassion and tenderness and understanding and truth. And all of this is in the message of grace. And beloved, God's grace is the only thing that's going to comfort our sad, sad, sad world today. And the only thing that's going to sustain our decaying, falling apart world is the grace of God. And beloved, the only thing that's going to save this lost world is the grace of God. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of baptism, not of communion, not of reformation, not of anything but grace. Lest any man should boast. A man, a mission, and a message. Say, let's not delay this message any longer. The angel said, "Go quickly and tell." I read a story the other day where a letter was received just a few years ago, within this last decade. A letter was received in New York that was dated November 5th, 1911. It came from Brooklyn, just across the river. But it took over 50 years to get that letter. It never was explained why it happened that way. But over 50 years to get that letter across the river. Beloved, Christianity has been in operation for 2,000 years. And there's many a river, and many a stream, and many a trail over which the gospel of Jesus Christ has never passed. I don't know why that letter wasn't delivered for 50 years, but I know why the gospel isn't. Because there are not enough men sent from God. Men on the pew, men in the pulpit. There aren't enough Christians who are willing to go out visiting and witnessing and knocking on doors. That's why. There are not enough people who are willing to put their money into foreign missions to send the gospel around the world. Let us not delay any longer. We have some men. We have a mission. And God knows we have a message. Let's give it to the world this morning. Tell it again. Tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er, till none can say of the children of men, "Nobody ever told me before." My beloved, just in case you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I want to tell you how you can be saved. It's just this simple. First, recognize that you're lost. The Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, confess that you're a sinner. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And the third thing, believe. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You haven't heard it that way before? You thought if you would come down and shake the preacher's hand, you'd be saved? You thought if you partook of the communion cup, you'd be saved? You thought if you were baptized, you'd be saved? Hear me when I tell you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. A mission, a message. I wish that I knew how to tell you this morning that for every need you have, for every burden you have, for every problem that you have this morning, God's grace is sufficient. Come then this morning. Exercise your faith in Him, and He will supply the grace. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy marvelous grace. We thank Thee for the opportunity to proclaim the unsearchable riches of this sweet grace. We know not the hearts of those who have listened, but Thou knowest. And for that person out there today who is drifting, for that person who doesn't have an anchor, for that person who doesn't have a blessed hope, for those, Heavenly Father, who may have never trusted Jesus Christ, for those who have never tasted the heavenly gift, for those who have not by Thy grace been made partakers of the divine nature, may they come this morning, bow at an altar of prayer, turn everything over to Jesus, and trust Him with their lives and with their souls, and with their time and with their eternity. In His name we ask it, and for His sake.